Can't be anybody else. It's us. So today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10 today. And we're going to be talking about praying for the harvest. Or praying for laborers to be sent out into the harvest. And so when we're praying for the harvest, and when we're praying for laborers, we're really praying for the harvest. We're praying that God will send out people. And that He will send out people into the harvest to reap, to sow, to plant, and to reap. Let's look at the Word of God. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and He sent them ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place where He Himself was about to go. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Whose harvest is it? His harvest. It is God's harvest. It's not my harvest. It is His harvest. And what God is doing with these 70 here is He is sending them out into the harvest that is ready. And I know today that we have a responsibility of sowing. We have a responsibility of cultivating. And then we have a responsibility of going and harvesting the people that God would send to us. Let's pray this morning before I go any farther. Let's go with the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for the opportunity that I have to come into this place one more time and to stand here on this podium and to proclaim Your name. And I ask You, God, that You would give me the charisma. God, give me the anointing to speak clearly today. And God, I also pray that the people who are here would hear the passion. In Jesus' name, amen. It says here in this passage of Scripture that Jesus was sending out the 70 or 72, depending on what type of translation that you have there. But the sending out of the 70 in this passage, Luke highlights and anticipates a universal mission of Christ. That the gospel would go to all places, to all people. They were passing, you know, in chapter 9, He had set His mind and He had set His heart of going to Jerusalem. And Jesus had determined in His mind, this is what I'm going to do. It is my time now to go and be ready to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. I'm ready to go. I am ready to go and to be sent out on the mission field. I am ready to go and offer myself as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so as Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, he got these 70 disciples. So it wasn't just the 12. He got the 70 now, and he commissions them, and he sends them out to do His work. And so why was the significance of 70 or 72? Why did the Lord choose 70 or 72? That's a question that when I read the Word of God that I always want to know what's going on. I want to know why God wrote, because God doesn't write anything by accident. Nothing in God's Word is there by happenstance. There's a reason why that there's 70 or 72 in the Word of God that is mentioned here. It was a number of the nations mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. I want you to know, when I found that out, it excited me. It excited me for me to know that there was 70 nations or 72 nations mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. That is the pretty significant. Because at that time, it was all the nations of the known world. All the nations of the people of the world. And what God is saying here to us when He is sending out the 70 or the 72 is that My name and that My word is going to be carried unto all nations. That My name is going to be carried to all people. And I want you to know that it's My responsibility and it's your responsibility to carry the message of Jesus Christ around the world. It's not just for the 10 or 11,000 missionaries that we send out as Southern Baptists. It's not the fact that we have about another 40,000 that we go on short-term mission trips around the world. It's not that. It's My responsibility and it's your responsibility to get the nations the gospel. today. I know that there are people groups all around our world who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They've never heard Yeshua. They have never heard the name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. They have never heard the name of Jesus. And God is saying here, and He's sending out the 70. They were in Samaria, and Samaria were people that the Jews didn't want and really nobody else wanted. He was sending them out to people that nobody else wanted. It was a number of men mentioned in Numbers chapter 11 that the Spirit of God came upon to carry Moses' burdens. When they began to send out the 70 here, it was also symbolizing those people that are to be filled with the Spirit of God as they go out. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you cannot truly accomplish His mission. You cannot truly do His will and His work without being filled with the Spirit of God. So it is a significant number. These 70 men that Moses selected to be the leaders over the few were filled with the Spirit of God. And God empowered them and sent them to be rulers at that time. And He empowered these 70 and sent them to share the good news of the kingdom. It was Jesus' way of declaring that the good news was going to be shared with every nation. Matter of fact, I really believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back one of these days. And when He comes back, it's going to be when the gospel is shared to every paraethne, to every people group. And then we go home. These disciples were willing to be sent. These 70 or 72 were willing to be sent. They were at Jesus' disposal. And may I ask, are you? Are you ready to be sent to do what God has called you to do? Are you to be sent to your marketplace where God has placed you at right now, or to the school or wherever it may be that God has placed you? Are you ready to go? Jesus does not limit the ministry to just a select few. Jesus' concept of ministry does not limit it to the professional level. Everyone is called to represent Him. You know, growing up in church and seeing Brother Frank, who was our pastor when I was growing up, and seeing him every week, or actually I was in a half-time church, so I saw him every other week. You know, I viewed him as a professional. And then when I went to Blooming Grove, when I started going there when I was 16, and the pastors that we had, Ken Clark and then John Smith. What a name, huh? And Ken Clark and John Smith, I viewed them as super holy people. And then I got to hanging around with them. I found out that they are great people, but they're not super holy people. They're not any different than anybody else. And I want you to know that I've had the privilege of being around some of the largest leaders. I mean, not just fat like me, but some of the largest leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention and other places. And I want to tell you what, they are men just like I am and just like you men are. And their wives are ladies just like you ladies are. They're real people. They're real people. And I want you to know, God uses real people. God's not into using fake people. People who are phony baloney. God wants to use genuine people, and God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You see, if you hang around with me, you'll find out that I'm about as common as dirt. And if I hang around you, I'm going to find that out as well. I love listening to Johnny Hunt preach. I love it. He can't pronounce water. Go get some water. And I love, I mean, here's a guy pastoring a church of about 18,000 people right now, and he can't pronounce water. That's my kind of guy. It does not matter who you are. You may have not graduated the eighth grade. Or maybe like Jethro Boudin, you did graduate the sixth. Or you may have a PhD. What I'm telling you is God wants to use you in the harvest field. Why did the Lord choose to send us out in pairs? If you wanted to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12, it would tell you why that God chose to send them out in pairs. And I really believe that's biblical, and I believe we still need to be doing that. In Ecclesiastes, you know, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Two have a better reward upon their labor. You know, we do have a plan. What we're going to do with GPS in the next few weeks, you're going to be able to see some billboards going up at the beginning of March here in Traverse City area. There'll be four billboards going up here in Traverse City. And on those billboards, there'll be a sign that says, "Find it here." Find it here. And when you see those, "Find it here," there'll be an 800 number there. And that's going to be coinciding with when we're going to be praying. We're going to be spending time praying and preparing people to go out and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks with "Find it here." We're going to be organizing ourselves together and praying together and studying how to pray for the lostness of our area and begin to determine, where's our church field at? Who is my neighbor? And where is my church field? And we're going to determine that. And it's not just necessarily a geographical area around where we meet at here at Traverse City Christian High School. Your church field, I can't determine that for you. You're going to have to determine that for yourself. And then what we're going to do later on, about the 20th of March, is we're going to have everything organized because you're going to determine where your church field is. And then we're going to go in there by pairs, and we're going to go into your church field, and we're going to do prayer walking. We have a neat thing called Mapping Center for Evangelism. And with Mapping Center for Evangelism, what it does is it allows you to give you all the neighbors' names and information who live in your area. And so you'll be able to go through your area, whether it's a subdivision or wherever, and do prayer walking, or if it's not a great day, or you live out in a rural area like I do, we'll be doing drive-by praying. And we're going to drive by and we're going to pray for people. But when we're praying, because you'll have the name of the person that lives at that house, you can pray for them specifically, and you can pray for them by name. And then you can be observant of what's going on around you as you pray. And we're going to do that on the 20th of March. And then on the following week, the 26th or 27th or whenever that is of March, we're going to be going to 27th because the 28th is on Sunday. On Saturday the 27th, we're going to do door hangers. We have 2,500 door hangers that are going to go into a little bag. And inside that bag is going to be stuff. A thing called "Find It Here." There'll be all kinds of information about our church in there. And then there'll be also an invitation for our Easter weekend services. 2,500. And so that we get free because we're part of the convention, because we're part of the North American Mission Board. Or actually, they're part of us. We're not part of them. They're part of us. As a result, they're the ones doing the billboards. They're the ones that are doing the advertising, and they made 2,500 of them for each one of the churches. And so I said to some of the churches that didn't need 2,500, "You order 2,500 and I'll get some of yours." And so, but here it is, folks. It's coming down. Why am I sharing that with you? Because I'm going down to the passage of Scripture of where we're going. You know, it gives you other reasons why that we are to go out by pairs. If one falls, the other one can pick him up. I used to think that was stupid when I was 20. But as I get older, getting up is a whole lot harder. Me and Sadie Jo sledded down the hill yesterday. We got to the bottom of the hill and I said, "Get up, Sadie." And I said, "Help me up, Sadie." Said, "One gets cold, the other can help keep him warm." I'm not going there very long. It's done for protection as well. Somebody attacks you or a group attacks you, you're better off having somebody who has your back. Matter of fact, there was a king's son and his armor bearer who fought off a whole army, the two of them, standing back to back. A three-stranded cord is hard to be broken. So why do we need? Are we praying for laborers? These 70 were about to go into a field that was ready but neglected. They were ready to go into a field that was ready to be harvested, but the field had been neglected. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, He said, "Don't say 4 months and then comes the harvest, because I say to you right now, the harvest is ready to be reaped." It's right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's right now. There's a great harvest ready to be harvested. That's why He's praying for laborers to go out into the field. Jesus, being the sovereign Son of God, knew exactly the amount of people that were out there who needed to hear the gospel message. There are not enough laborers. Not enough laborers into the field. The harvest is great, but we don't have enough harvesters. And here's what I want you to picture with me this morning. I want you to picture a great big wheat field. Maybe a wheat field out in the out in Kansas. As far as the eye can see, there's wheat. And in the midst of that wheat, there's one person standing there, moving along with a sigh, harvesting the wheat. Growing up on a farm, we were in an area that had lots of fence rows and small fields. But one day, I got to go into a field that had about 300 acres in it. And I thought, wow, this field is huge. And I went into that field that was huge. And I was pulling a disc. I was actually pulling a cross-cut disc. It was cutting down pretty deep, and the tractor was pulling hard, and I was watching the black smoke roll. But I'm going to tell you what, when I pulled into that field, and because it was a cross-cut disc, it was about half the size of our normal disc because it pulled so hard. I thought, I am never going to get this field done. And Ron, I disced, and I did it. I started before daylight, and at dark, I still wasn't done. It seemed huge. About 7 years ago, God sent me to Michigan. There's enough work to keep anybody busy in southern Illinois, but God sent me to Michigan. Before I moved up here, I began to look at the demographics of this area. Do you realize that Traverse City and this area here that we live in at that time was one of the fastest growing rural areas in America? One of the fastest growing rural areas in America. And as a result of it being one of the fastest growing rural areas in America, the lostness of the population here was astounding. That we have counties around us and the counties in which we live in that have 65% of the people who have no religious affiliation whatsoever. That's our neighbors. That's my neighbor. That's your neighbor. The harvest is great. So the Lord was praying, God, send out laborers Jesus was telling them, pray. Pray for the laborers to go out into the harvest. The need is urgent. Every 11 seconds, someone dies in America. 3 out of 4 of those people die without a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they'll spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell because they have never trusted Christ. The urgency, the passion. Sometimes I lose the thought of the lostness of humanity around me. God is the one that will send out the laborers. You know, here's something that I wrote down that was so significant that I wanted to quote it rather than just talk about it. There is another key point involved in asking God for laborers. Workers are not coerced into labor. God will supply them. Jesus calls us to express trust that God will supply additional help for the field. You know, there's probably been times in my ministry I tried to shame people into doing things. And that may work for a moment or two, for a day or two. But it really has no lasting value whatsoever by shaming or guilting people into, this is what you need to do, and by shaming them into doing it or guilting them into doing it. I've just found that it don't work. And I want to tell you what, this field is way too big for me. It's way too big for you by ourselves. The task of sharing the gospel with every person by the year 2020 is a daunting task. It is tough. But if God sends the laborers, I can't coerce you into doing it. You've got to feel, I'm responsible. It's my obligation to go do it. I've been told before, well, preacher, that's why we pay you. If that's the case, quit paying me. If that's the case, quit paying me. Because that's not what you pay me. Yes, I'll go do it. Yes, I'll be out there. But it's got to be more than me. I thank God that there's people who stepped up to work in children's, work into preschool. Folks, if God gives us a harvest, we've got to be ready to accept it when they come. The prayer for more workers links mission and conversion together. With expansion of the pool of laborers, the more people get saved, the more people get sent out. The more people that get sent out, the more get saved. That's the way that it's supposed to work. The more people that it continues to grow. And it continues to grow and grow and grow, but it begins with labor. And you know, there's one thing about labor. It's a four-letter word. Called W-O-R-K. It's work. Some of you ladies in here have been in labor before, haven't you? I've got one in front of me saying, Labor's labor. It's painful. It's work. You know, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But work. God. And that's one thing when I was serving as a missionary and serving, I challenged them, listen, guys, pastors, it's not your job to do everything. Yes, you ought to be out there laboring. You ought to be out there working. But it's your job to equip your people to do the work. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to do my dead level best to equip you to be the laborers that God wants you to be. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how he sent the 70 out, and we're going to be talking about GPS and about praying. But folks, to be able to go to wherever it is that your church field is, and to be the laborer, the worker for God where you are. Does that mean that you have to wear fancy clothes or certain clothes or whatever? No, it means you've got to be a witness for Jesus where you are. That means that you have to be a theologian and know 1,500 different Bible verses? That'd be nice, but no. That means you tell your story of how God redeemed you. How that you once were lost in your sin. And that Christ came in to your heart and life and He changed you. And what your life has been like since then. To be able to tell your story. You know, I can't think of a better way to close this. We need laborers. We need laborers. So right now I'm going to ask you to pair off, group up, and I'm going to ask you to spend these next few moments doing what I've talked about today. Jesus said, pray that there be laborers sent forth into the harvest. I want you right now, where you are, get with a group of people. And I want you to begin to pray, simply living. Pray through this list right now. Pray for Christ to send workers into His harvest. Pray for Christ to keep us in His name and in His character. Another way of saying that is, God, keep us close and keep us clean. Pray for Christians to have Christ's joy show in their lives and in our lives. Pray for Christ to guard and protect us from the evil one. Pray for Christians to be unified in one mission, purpose, and spirit. Pray for Christians to be where Christ is and join Him in His work. Pray for Christians to be filled with the Spirit. And then pray for the lost in your area. So right now, just spend some time getting with someone else and praying. With you. I guess I'll pray with you. One of the things that I'm hearing today, folks, as I'm listening to people, is I'm hearing people ask me, I just want to get into the Word of God. I just want to get into the Bible. I want to get into the Word. I'm hearing that more and more and more. And I want to tell you what, that's exciting to me. Because I know. I know based on what the Word of God says. I know based on history, when God's people are praying and when God's people are in His Word, awesome things happen. Awesome things happen. So I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do. Stand as we worship together in closing today. And our offering will be again taken as we go out. And please, please put your communication card in the bag as you go out this morning. Thank you so much. And if you can, come over to Cherry Tree Inn. We'll leave here somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or thereabouts and head over that way. And so please stick around and then go over there with us this afternoon for a baptism service. Ron, you have anything you want to share? Okay. Well, you don't have to. Just thought maybe you had something you want to share. All right. God bless you, and thank you so much today for being with us and worshiping.
Let's.